the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Eklund back for Granlund.
Shoots and scores! Shot it, tipped at the front of the net, and the Sharks tie it on a power play goal. Wennberg's leg. Wennberg is a great job there. You don't either or. Wennberg in front. See that little push, that little punch that Dostal gives Wennberg? That takes him out of position. Wennberg playing the perfect screen.
What's your message to the guys?
We just got to find a way to win a game. It's not messages that need to be said. We think everyone knows what it takes to win a game.
All right. Welcome everyone. As we are going over yet another Sharks loss to start off the season, this time falling to Anaheim on the road. That is now seven straight winless to start the season. They do have 2 points on the year, which is better than where they were a year ago. But also just indicative of the fact that the Sharks need to figure out how to win. And, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day and they were mentioning how the Sharks in 2022-23 lost five before they started to win a couple games. And I said, well, yeah, let's talk about that team, though. That team had Erik Karlsson, and he had a 100-point season, the first by a defenseman in 30-ish years. They also still had Tomas Hertl. They also had Logan Couture. I mean, those are some big names that are no longer with the San Jose Sharks. And, you know, they also still had Timo Meier at that point. So there have been a lot of changes that have occurred to the Sharks in terms of top-end talent, because I think there is a wonder of, you know, why the Sharks aren't playing better than what they ostensibly should be out there on the ice right now. And, you know, I still look at the fact that there is a lot of turnover with San Jose this year. And at any game, we're looking at somewhere between 7 and 10 new names out there on the ice for guys that were not regulars last year, combined with new offseason acquisitions or rookie type players, whether it's Daniil Gushin, who only featured in a couple games last year, or, you know, Vitek Vanacek, who was here last year but did not feature for San Jose. So there are a lot of things that we take into consideration as to why the Sharks are not playing up to the level that maybe we expected of them right now. Not that these are excuses, I just think we look for a greater understanding of why they are performing as poorly as they are right now. The one thing that I cannot explain right now are the penalties. I mean, the way they are getting penalized, this is a streak now of multiple games where they are getting penalized heavily. And I'm not blaming the refs for that in any way, shape, or form. I think that solely falls on the Sharks. Could some of the calls have gone the other way? Of course, but not that many. Like, the Sharks are obviously reaching, they're doing things that they should not be doing. Clearly, they are making lazy-ish plays because they're getting beat. They just need to be cleaner. And I think that, you know, that is the number one issue right now. If the Sharks right now could fix the penalties, they could give themselves a great opportunity to win this game, because, you know, the two goals that they gave up yesterday before the empty netter, those were power play goals. Those were goals that were, for all intents and purposes, of their own doing, in the sense that they put themselves in a negative place out there on the ice. If you are putting yourself at a man down, if you are putting yourself consistently on the penalty kill, if you're tiring yourselves out, you are going to pay the price over the course of the game, and pay the price they did. I mean, we take a look at these numbers throughout yesterday's game, and it's staggering. It's just because I've not seen anything consistently like this from the Sharks in so very, very long. I mean, taking six penalties in this game. Then we go back to Sunday's game against the Avs. I mean, they just took penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty. They had five in that one. Then you go back to Friday's game against Winnipeg. And again, the penalties were just out of control. They took seven in that game. And then you go back to Thursday against the Blackhawks. Penalties, 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 penalties. They took seven in that game. I mean, this is four consecutive games in which they are just shooting themselves in the foot, and it's something that has to change immediately. And I think it's the one that they have the most control over in terms of not making these mistakes, in terms of not putting themselves in harm's way. We talk about, you know, controlling and playing your game. It's not like any coach walks into a game and says, okay, guys, we're going to get penalized 4 or 5 times and maybe even more in this game, and that's going to lead us to a win. No, if you spend that much time, you know, I don't have the stats right in front of me, but it's not going to give you a greater chance of winning, I don't think, than playing a clean game. So that's number one, the most important thing they can do. Beyond that, the offense. This Sharks team is not the same without Macklin Celebrini. I think we all saw that from game one versus everything we've seen since that point, in which they did have their best offensive output. They need to learn that reality. No one's going to come in and save the day right now. No one's going to come in and make them a better team overnight. They have to fight and scratch and claw their way to get goals. And, you know, last night was the first game of the year other than the second game against Anaheim in which Tyler Toffoli did not register a point. He can't be the guy that has to do it in every single game. Mikael Granlund is playing very, very good hockey, and he has been very, very consistent, just as we would expect him to be in the player that we saw last year when he was healthy. William Eklund is coming on. You know, Fabian Zetterlund obviously didn't have a great night last night. And, you know, when you only score one goal, not everybody can have a great night last night. So that's pretty clear. But, you know, you had a point from Mikael Granlund. You had a point from William Eklund. You had a point from Jack Thompson. So you do have, you know, two of your consistent guys performing, one newer guy getting on the board. You need those consistent performers. But, you know, once you get beyond those that top line and those guys that are on the top line of the power play, you know, the production is dropping off. And so you need more from Luke Cunningham. You need more from Nico Sturm. You need more from Barclay Goodrow. You need more from all these players to help the Sharks, you know, pull out of this right now, because they're not getting enough offense and they're on the kill way too much. I mean, these are the two things you can immediately watch. You don't have to know much about hockey just to figure out, like, yeah, this is not a good recipe for a win. And the frustrating part is they have done some things right in their games as of late. There were points during the game against Colorado where they were outplaying the opposition and were doing some good things. And, you know, in last night's game, they were fast to the puck a lot in the first period. They were creating opportunities. And what, they hit 3 posts? I mean, that's not bad luck. That's the breaks not going your way, in my opinion, because I'm not a believer in luck, because I think that implies an undeserved nature. But, you know, they were doing good things in the game and not getting rewarded for it. And that's ultimately quite frustrating from what they are and what they want to be. So, you know, for San Jose, they've got to figure out that no one's going to come and save them. They are doing this on their own for the time being. Macklin Celebrini's out another 2 weeks-ish. We'll see what it ends up being. But, you know, that means that we're looking at November 5th, I believe, and we can see what the actual timeline ends up being. But it could be longer. And that means that everyone has to come up and produce. And that means you need to get, you know, your blue liners in on the scoring. That means you need to get everyone to be a more consistent contributor. And, you know, consistent contribution for some of these guys is just any contribution, because we're just not seeing it. The Sharks offense, you know, you scored one goal against Colorado. You had 3 against Winnipeg. You had 2 against Dallas. You had 2 against Chicago. And, you know, last night you had another just one goal game, and you didn't break through until the third period. Moving along, Mackenzie Blackwood last night was absolutely phenomenal. He gave the Sharks everything that they needed to win. If we take a look at his line over the course of the game, he had 39 shots against. He gave up 2 goals, both of which were on the power play. The first one I do think he could have saved. I think that was one that he probably wants back. But ultimately, he made 37 saves. That's a .949 save percentage. When you're on the road and your goalie's only given up 2 goals, both of which are on the power play, that means he is giving you a chance to win. And I think that's one of the hardest things we've seen as of late, is the Sharks are getting individual performances from players, whether it is Tyler Toffoli, whether it is Mikael Granlund, whether it is William Eklund, whether it was Macklin Celebrini, whoever it is. You know, Vitek Vanacek has had some phenomenal performances so far, but, you know, they are giving themselves a chance to win individually, but then the team is faltering in other places. And I think that's going to lead to a lot of frustration. I don't think Mackenzie Blackwood is frustrated as of yet. I think he probably, and I don't agree with him here, but he probably feels he let the team down in the game against Winnipeg, and he got pulled, and the Sharks were a little bit tighter after that point, and Vitek only gave up 3, but I'm sure Mackenzie wanted to come in and redeem himself, and in my opinion, he did. He had a great game last night, arguably his best of the year. but then you don't get the offensive support that you need to make that performance count. And that's one of the things that I worry about with San Jose, and I've seen it for the past couple of years. It's when hard work doesn't get rewarded, I think that can create a little bit of cognitive dissonance. The idea of, well, if I'm doing this and it's not leading to that, then what are we doing here? And not that that is where professional athletes are. I think they're more mindful of not letting those thoughts creep into their brain. I think it is just something to pay attention to. And right now, you know, when they're getting good performances, it's just not enough for them to walk away with the 2 points, which has got to be leading to an incredible amount of frustration across the board. One player who does not appear to be letting that frustration sink in and is finding his best game is William Eklund, who registered another point last night, and he has been one of the Sharks' most consistent performers as of late. And it's frustrating because, again, these are not coming in overall winning performances, but he's got 5 points on the year right now. He had an incredible near behind the net wraparound goal, which, again, I applaud the effort because you have to make something happen out there on the ice, and he's trying to make things happen. And he has star caliber play out there on the ice. He does special things. He's being more physical. He is establishing himself more in the NHL. And it's something that Alan and I were talking about on NBC last night in the Toyota Sharks postgame coverage, as I give their sponsor a plug. But William Eklund has been more physical in his play out there in the ice. He's getting in guys' faces. And I think that physicality is indicative of some of the overall just confidence that he's playing with right now. I think that is something that's very positive to see, because it's not like William Eklund is the biggest guy, right? Like, he is not going to, you know, intimidate you with his size, even though he is a stout and sturdy man out there. Dude's got tree trunks for legs. But, you know, just for him to have that confidence to go and get in guys' faces and feel like, after, you know, some time in the NHL now, that he can go out there and, you know, stand up for himself and his teammates. That's a good thing to see. But, you know, his explosiveness on the ice, his burst, the way that he attacks the puck, the way that he can create motion and pull the defense with him and create space for his opponents against the opposition, that is just high quality that you don't see everywhere out there on the ice. The way that he moves, the way that he can, you know, transport the puck in the offensive zone in tight spaces, these are high quality things to see. And unfortunately, the play around him hasn't been nearly good enough. But William Eklund, he continues to look like a star player in the NHL. And, you know, now he's got 5 points through 7 games. And that sounds like a 60-point season in the NHL, and I think that he's just warming up. He is getting better and better, and I think that the ability that he's going to show in the near future is going to not shock a lot of people, but make everyone remember why they've been so high on him and why he is expected to be a pillar of this franchise going forward. Obviously, you know, we don't talk about him quite in the same breath that we do a Will Smith or a Macklin Celebrini, because both of them were, you know, top 5 picks. Will Smith was 4. And Macklin was 1 overall, but William Eklund, by way of his draft status, I think people just look at him and see that his skating ability, his hands, everything about him is such a high quality player. 7th overall pick in the 2021 draft. Yeah, he's got a lot in front of him, and I think that he's going to continue to impress as we get deeper and deeper into the season. And actually, I'll redo my math real quick. That was only 6 games that he's played in, so that's actually closer to being something like a 70-point season as opposed to 60-point season. And obviously, it's a young year and we're extrapolating. But, I mean, this performance consistency that we're seeing from him is very much in line with what we saw in the end of last year, the final half to the final third of the season, when William Eklund was making everyone say, yeah, this kid is a star player in the NHL. It just requires time. It just requires more games for him to continue to make his case for being such a high-quality young player. And he's only 22 years old. Mikael Granlund is 32 years old, and he is on pace for an 82-point season. Last year, if we extrapolate his 69-game performance over an 82-game season, he was on pace for 71 points. He missed 13 games. He only registered 60 points last year, but he has 7 points in 7 games this year, and 1-for-1 over the course of 82 makes an 82-point season. Now, he might exceed that. It might go down, but the point is, he looked exactly like the player that he was at the end of last year, and he is consistently just performing for San Jose. Got his first goal of the year last night to go with those 6 assists, and just to appreciate his game, it's very nice to see, because he is very, he's quietly performing exactly as he did last year. The performance has been phenomenal. The unfortunate aspect of all of this is that it's not coming amongst wins. And again, you would love to see these guys get rewarded with that first 2-point performance of the season. You don't want this to drag out into another double-digit losing streak to start a season, but that is a potential. The schedule does not get easy. They play LA on Thursday. On Saturday, they're going to be playing Vegas. On Monday, they're going to be playing Utah. And then on Tuesday, on the second night of a back-to-back, they are back home against the Kings before they get a day off and host Chicago. Chicago will, in my mind, represent a winnable game. But again, there's nothing easy about this in any way, shape, or form. The Sharks have to go out there and earn that win. No one's going to give it to them. And now with Nashville getting their first win of the season last night, the Sharks are the only winless team in the NHL right now. Everybody else has at least one win. Nashville got that win. Chicago's got two. The Flyers have one. So yeah, the Sharks are alone right now at the bottom without getting a win. And then, you know, if you look at their schedule beyond what's happening in the month of October, when they finish up home versus Chicago, then they are going to be hosting Vancouver. That's not easy. Host Columbus. Could be some opportunity there, although Columbus up to this point of the season has not been bad. They've not been great. They're 3-3. But then you look after Columbus, they've got to face the Wild. They are off to a 4-0-2 start, and then they go back out onto the road to take on Jersey, Philadelphia, New York, and Pittsburgh before they're back home on the 18th versus Detroit. And then they've got two more in Dallas and at St. Louis before a four-game homestand. All right, let's get into some of the post-game reaction. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Warsofsky.
It's a fine line, right? You got to compete and try to be physical, but the sick penalties, the lazy penalties, us not skating, you know, are the ones that obviously got us in trouble big time tonight, and it's been the story the last, you know, few games here.
The one thing that I take as a positive out of that is that it is rectifiable. If they can keep away from that, if they can get that out of their game, that immediately puts them in a better position. It's very rare that you see problems so obvious watching a team. It's like you take away the penalties, you're going to give yourself a better chance to win. Now, of course, you're going to take a penalty or two throughout every game. You can't avoid it. But everyone needs to work on making themselves that much tighter, that much more focused. Just be disciplined with your stick. Make sure you're not reaching out. Make sure you're just playing a cleaner game, and you'll walk away with a better result when all is said and done. I think that if the Sharks can do that, then you clean things up. You give yourself a greater opportunity to win. I know it sounds obvious, but sometimes it is the obvious thing that you need. Warsofsky also talked about Will Smith and some of the penalties that he in particular was taking.
Yeah, he just obviously can't take those type of penalties, the stick penalties. He's got to move his feet in certain areas. I thought he did some good things tonight. That was his best first period that I've seen him play. So he did some good things, but obviously he can't take those penalties.
Yeah, he's got to keep his feet moving. He's got to be more disciplined. But at the same time, I like that Warsofsky talked about a lot of the positive that we saw out of Will Smith last night. I thought that Will Smith had a good performance, even though, yes, he is taking penalties, but he's learning the NHL, and it's hard. We heard Mike Greer talk about this the other day. He wasn't just going to pull him and put it at the AHL. They need him to figure out the NHL game. And so right now that's happening for Will Smith. It is a learning process, but, you know, he had a number of plays where he really, really jumped into things, made things happen. One thing that I look for in his game that has been more evident since he sat that one game, he has been more decisive. He has been more aggressive. He has been more involved, and that's exactly what you need to see from Will Smith. You can't have him sitting back and being passive, and I think that as soon as he gets more of that passive nature out of his game, because I'm sure he's a little bit just overwhelmed, as soon as that leaves his game, he's going to be able to perform at that much higher of a level, and I think we're seeing just the start of that in these last couple of games. Orzo was also asked about the team's need to get one of those goals off the post and go in and what it would have done to change the dynamic, and, you know, he said that's how it goes. You know, you don't always catch the breaks.
Yeah, but that's the game of hockey, right? That's sports. Sometimes it goes in. It's a game of inches, and sometimes they don't. You hit some post. We have to be resilient to keep pushing forward and keep the momentum and keep the way we need to play with our identity more consistently, you know, when those things don't happen.
And this goes back to my earlier point of them just need to be their own boss, their own controller of their destiny. Yes, Mack and Celebrini's not out there. No, they don't have Logan Couture still. No, they are not catching the breaks right now, but you have to play beyond that aspect of your game. You've got to put yourself in a position to win regardless of whatever is a, you know, setback or whatever is in your way. You've got to be able to find the back of the net more consistently. And for offense, that was my main concern during the preseason. The Sharks just were not scoring consistently. It didn't look like goals were coming easy. Goals have not come easily at all throughout the early parts of this season. It is the main concern right now. But again, these easily identifiable problems are things that can be improved upon. You kill the penalty situation and you're going to be giving yourself a greater chance to win. You take that out of your game, you give yourself a better chance to win. You create more offense, you give yourself a better chance to win. The Sharks were in it against Anaheim in game number two, not enough offense. They were in it in game number three against Dallas, not enough offense. They were in it in game number six against Colorado, not enough offense. They were in it in game number seven against Anaheim, not enough offense. And obviously those most recent two games were also with a slew of penalties. So for the Sharks right now, it's eliminating the things from their game that are making them perform so poorly, and then fixing those will lead to better performances all around. I mean, I feel like it's very obvious. We can all see what the problem is. They're taking too many penalties and they're not scoring goals. And that's a recipe for disaster. And yeah, when you start off with seven straight winless, that's relatively disastrous, but it's not like the Sharks have been absolutely abysmal and skated off the ice. Yeah, they had one bad game against Winnipeg and they had a slow start against Chicago, after which they found their footing and performed much better. But otherwise, the Sharks have been in these games. The Sharks have looked like they have had performances and done things well enough to walk away with a win. They have just not done enough to reward themselves with a win. And I feel that for very much the same narrative that we had a year ago, the Sharks have to play near perfect hockey to find that ability to win these games, to find themselves the ability to get 2 points when all is said and done. And then to finish the presser, Warzo commented on the very obvious.
Yeah, I think it'd be obviously helpful, but we need to win more than anything.
He was asked about the necessity or how much it would help to have a lead early in a game. But yeah, the Sharks just need to win a game. And I do feel that once they can get those first 2 points from one game as opposed to two games out of their first three, once they can get that on the board, I think they'll find that much more consistency. I think it'll be just a weight off of everyone's shoulders. Because even though I don't think guys are gripping right now, we've wondered about it, I think they just all feel the collective weight of losing. And that's just something that I have seen entirely too much with the Sharks as of late, because when you are playing hard, when you're walking away with goals and assists, when you're playing soundly, and yet the team collectively shoots themselves in the foot and you don't walk away with what you deserve out of the game or what you feel you could deserve, I think that just makes the situation that much more frustrating, and it makes it that much harder for everybody across the board to try and find, you know, that much more resiliency later in games, because you feel like it might not be enough and you try to get that out of your head. But these guys are humans. They are going to have these reactions. They are going to have, you know, frustrations and feelings of not helplessness, but just, you know, I can't do enough. And then you get into that situation where guys try and do too much and you start getting hero hockey, and then that leads to turning the puck over. And we've seen that before. And I will give the Sharks some credit because they have not played too much of that hero hockey up to this point, but you've seen it a couple times. Will Smith has tried to make something happen and try and, you know, skate between multiple defenders and been stripped of the puck. Yeah, he's trying to make something happen. He's forcing it, but that doesn't mean that one of those times that he does force it, it won't turn into something good. I think he's got to learn when to hit the gas and when to pass off. So again, it's a learning curve for everybody on this team right now, not just Will Smith, not just Jack Thompson, not just Daniil Gushin. Everybody is figuring it out on the fly. And for the Sharks, they have yet to figure it out in the result of a win. Let's hear from Cody Ceci. He's obviously one of the new members of the San Jose Sharks, and he last year was in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, and now he is mired in a 7-game winless streak to start his season.
Yeah, I mean, it would have for sure, but we got to find a way to create more offense, I think, off like 5-on-5. And we are getting some chances. Obviously, those ones didn't go in. We hit a couple posts in the first, then we hit one in the second, too. So it is tough when they're not going in, especially when the offense is a little dry. Those are the ones you kind of hope for just to turn things around a little bit. But yeah, they're not going in right now, so we need to keep focusing on it and hopefully it'll turn.
Yeah, and I think that he doesn't sound like he's overwhelmed or overly concerned. And that's not to say that they're not all upset about the winless streak to start the season, but I think Cody Ceci knows and has been on enough teams in the NHL to say they are doing some things right. They do need to create offense. He sees some good thing that's happening out there on the ice. It just hasn't been enough to get the win so far. He was also asked about the penalty situation.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've been in the box a little too much. I think that comes with defending a little too much. When you're always defending, you do tend to take more penalties. Definitely something we need to clear up and clean up going forward. Maybe stay off the refs a little bit too. And I think maybe they'll start calling a little more in our favor. But definitely spending too much time in the box, and that limits your chances to score 5-on-5.
And again, he's 100% correct. I think that, you know, they are limiting their chances to score if they're on the penalty kill so much. And then also, you know, we talked about maybe laying off the refs, because I'm sure there is the feeling that they're getting piled on and they're maybe chirping back at the officials a little bit, which is a natural reaction. But, you know, Cody Ceci's been around this league. He knows what's up. He knows what to do in these situations and when to press and when to lay back. And I would, you know, heed his advice. Let, you know, the team earn some of that respect from the officials. Cody also commented on the Sharks goalies and how well they've played up to this point of the season.
They played great. I mean, our goalies have been outstanding for us so far. They've been facing a lot of shots. They've kept us in all these games. I mean, these games are all close, so they've been playing great for us, and it'd be nice to get one for them.
And maybe the more important question dealing with the morale of the team right now as they go through a winless start to their season.
Yeah, we just have to stick together as a team, pick each other up off the ice. It's tough what we're going through. We are competing hard. We're working hard, just not getting the results. I mean, it's result-based, so we need to get a win. We need to find a way to get it and just be there for each other until we get it.
And he said it right there, you know, that they are working hard, that they are competing hard, and he knows what that takes. And I think for the Sharks right now, it's just a matter of converting that effort into a win. But that doesn't make any of this any easier, right? I think morale is one of the things that you worry about. And we all knew this was going to be a difficult season. I think that the injury to Macklin and the way that has had a reverberation down the lines and through the power play has changed the early goings of the season. But you can't pin it all on just one player's absence. Everybody else has to step up. Everybody has to find new levels to their game to be just that much better overall. But right now, this team has just got to turn the page overall, and I think that's the hardest thing to do, because I'm sure when they wake up in the morning, they're thinking about the 7-game winless streak. If they turn on NHL Network, they're hearing about, you know, pundits and personalities and around the league talk about San Jose once again being mired in a slow start, and that's not a good place to be. You want your team to be associated with high quality play. You want people to be talking about positivity out of your club. And I think they all felt like they would be a lot farther along at this point of the season than what their record is showing. And I do think it's worth noting that other than the one game against Winnipeg, the Sharks have pretty much been in every single game. Yeah, the game against Chicago was not their best performance by any means, but you know, they have been a competitive team. They have been in these games. They have given themselves a chance most of the time. They just haven't found the results. And that's what happens when you're at a talent deficit overall. And when you compare to the talent that's on Dallas, that's on Winnipeg, that's on Colorado, you know, you are going to be overall in a bad situation. Anaheim, they're about a year ahead of where the Sharks are in their rebuild, maybe a little bit further along, but there is that easy comparison. But still, they do have more developed talent out of their youngsters. They are looking at, you know, being just a little bit further along in that process. And that's a reality. The Sharks have to understand where they are. And we knew it was going to be a difficult season. I think they all knew what they were getting into, that it was going to be a difficult season. But right now, I think the fact that they're not being rewarded for their efforts is where the frustration comes in. And if they can find that better level of play, if they can find overall a higher level of consistency and take away the penalties and make sure that the bad penalties in particular are not part of their game consistently, they're going to be able to find results. I think ultimately that's what they need more than anything, is just to be able to find that first one and get the ball rolling from there. They need to have some sort of footing to get their base upon, to get a ground, to start being able to get that push. Watch Nashville. Now, obviously, a more talented team with higher level talent, but they will have a correction. You saw the start of the year last year for Edmonton. Again, a higher level talent team, but still, once they got that first win underneath them, they started to get it rolling. Even San Jose last year, once they got that first win, they won a night right after that. So again, it comes down to having your best players on the ice. It comes down to having a little bit of consistency. And I think from there, the Sharks are going to be able to find 2 points more consistently. And again, once Macklin comes back, I think you're going to see things change for the better, more in form with what we saw with game number one. That's no excuse. It's just, you know, we talk about how much the absence of Logan Couture means when you're without your best players, there is an impact. And I know that some of you are saying, come on, Ted, you only played one game, but I'm sorry. What we have seen from Macklin Celebrini all summer long, training camp, dev camp, what we saw in the rookie faceoff, what we saw in preseason, what we saw in just one NHL game. Yeah, he's one of their best players without question. They need him out there on the ice. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Morning Tide. I will see you on the build-up on Thursday afternoon as the Sharks get ready for the Kings. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.